Amen. Good morning, church. It's a beautiful day that God has given us, and we can be together in this place and study His Word together. I hope that you have a Bible, and if you want to, have it open there in the Gospel of Mark in the 16th chapter. Mark chapter 16. That's a wonderful place to begin our study this morning. I look out and I see that we have some new faces here, new friends, and we are so glad that you're here at Livingston this morning. Trust that the worship has been uplifting, encouraging to you. It certainly has been to me. I've just been thrilled to sing these wonderful songs that Brother Todd and Brother Stephen have led us in, to be able to pray with you and to commune with you. It is a blessed, blessed thing. I'm so glad that you're here. I will tell you that we love the first day of the week here at Livingston. The church does come together on the first day of the week. It is the Lord's Day. And the tomb was found empty on the first day of the week. I will tell you personally that I am thankful that on this holiday weekend, people who would not normally give a second thought to my King Jesus really might pause and consider that. I'm truly grateful for that time. But I will tell you, for us who are blessed to have the Bible, and to read the Bible, we know that the Lord would have us a weekly reminder of the glory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Indeed, what a blessing it is to have the Bible and to be able to read it and study it. Because when you know the story and God's revelation in the scripture, the report of the resurrection means wonderful things. When we talk about the resurrection, we think about joy and we think about celebration. Just look at you all this morning. With your bright colors and the bows on the baby's hair. It's a beautiful thing. The joy and the celebration of the news of the risen Christ. But did you catch it in the reading in Mark 16? Brother Foster did so well. Have you noticed as you read the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that those first resurrection reports are actually marked by fear? They were afraid. They trembled. The angel says, don't be afraid. The scripture says that they were alarmed. They were amazed. Can I tell you that I hope we don't ever lose that sense of fear, that sense of awe, that sense of amazement at the resurrection of the Lord. I hope that the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ never becomes business as usual for us, for His people. Because everything changed. For everybody on the planet, the day that Jesus' tomb was found empty. Fear and alarm gripped the most faithful disciples, the ones who were supposed to be looking for it, the ones who heard Him prophesy, on the third day I will rise. Boy, they're terrified that this tomb is empty. And it's fear that grips them. It's anger, it's confusion that fills Jesus' enemies. But I will tell you this, that nothing will ever be the same. That all of history changed. That the message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the end of business as usual. And I know that like these disciples of Jesus of old, there are people who fearfully wonder, what is happening with this? What does the resurrection mean? Even today, there are people who are afraid and alarmed at the idea of being a Christian. What does it mean to become a Christian? What would it change in my life? I mean, if I become a Christian, I'll have to do things different. If I become a Christian, what will people think or what will people say? What might happen? And so we kind of plod along in usual patterns, continue on in business as usual for another day. But in a quiet moment, they know. In a quiet moment, we know business as usual does not satisfy. Business as usual does not flourish. We can't keep doing what we've been doing. And we are desperate for the fearfully wonderful hope that something can end business as usual. What does business as usual look like in your life? What does business as usual look like? As we go to our notes, I think for a lot of people, business as usual just looks like exhaustion, exhausted. I know it's a beautiful Sunday morning and we're together as the church, but has anyone ever felt exhausted? You ever feel tired? Lots of people say they do, physically, mentally, spiritually. Physically, people are exhausted because they feel that they're all alone carrying the burdens of life. Business as usual is the grind of working just enough hours to be able to pay the bills and keep food on the table and make sure the lights are on. For other people that find themselves mentally exhausted, There is study after study after study that we Americans are overwhelmed. We're overstressed. We got all this anxiety going through the roof. People are mentally exhausted. And there are people today who carry the weight of spiritual exhaustion as well. They've been carrying guilt and shame in their lives because they got a past, because everybody has a past. And they think about things they've done as they have failed God, as they have acted out and hurt people that they love, even their families, their spouses, their kids, and they are exhausted. That's business as usual. Business as usual is people who find themselves enslaved or addicted. When I say addiction, when I say enslaved, so many things can capture us. Mind and body, they capture us. We get started doing something because we want to fit in with some people, or we get started doing something because it feels good for a moment, or it brings a little escape from our problems, but it grows and grows in our lives, and it overtakes our lives, and it holds us captive to wreck our lives. And people, business as usual, is people looking for some freedom, for some redemption. And people know they need help. I mean, that's why there's these 12-step programs for people who recognize they need help. And maybe it comes in the form of AA or NA or SA. And many of these programs, they recognize the need for a higher power. Jesus Christ is the higher power. He's the true God. There is no other higher power. People are addicted to gambling, addicted to pornography. They're destroying their families with these things. People get trapped in cycles of secrecy, isolation, loneliness, shame, and they want freedom. But these are habits. These are routines. These are cycles that have a hold on us. It's a picture of business as usual. For some people, business as usual is simple distraction. We're just kind of going through life and we are distracted. And because we're easily distracted, we don't pay attention to God or to the things of God. Yeah, we're easily distracted. You know, it's been said the urgency of life pushes out the important things of life. That's actually a statement about priorities. It's incredible to me how we are distracted by things that really are not even urgent, right? What are we distracted by? Well, it's just something that's shiny. It's something that's bright, you know. It's our smartphones, our devices, our screens. And we so easily spend hours on these devices and we're just scrolling. What was it the brother called it? The death scroll, the scroll of death a couple of weeks ago in our series. We're just binging shows. We're just watching the next video that comes up. We're just playing another game so we can break through to the next level or gain the next prize. And man, where did a day go? Man, where did the weeks go? I mean, we just get on with business as usual. And if we stop to think about spiritual things, maybe we think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm sure I'll go to heaven when life's over. But we just kind of wander on through life. And what's the next thing that catches our attention? Man, what's my business as usual? I'm distracted. And some people go through life, and I'll tell you what's usual, what's the habit in their life, is following a life of illusion. Truly, they are deceived. Deceived that this world is all that there is. Deceived that this world is all that matters. This world, this life, this is as good as it gets. So we might as well eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die and that's it. So you better make a fortune. You better have all the fun that you can have. You better get whatever you can get because then this life ends. And there's no other life than this. Boy, when that's your outlook, and I believe it is a deception that this is all there is, that'll drive people to some dark places of selfishness and greed and power. Whoever has the most wins. Business as usual is going to kill us. It's time to get serious. The good news is that business as usual is over. And that we can be free from these illusions and addictions and distractions that the world, the flesh, the devil always place before us. We can be free from those things so that we can be free for God. The grace and the goodness that He intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sinners called to be saints. And we can't fix that problem on our own. But we can look to the cross. We can look to the empty tomb. Here is God's power for rescue. Here is God's power for salvation and freedom. Here is the end of business as usual. And the beginning of redemption and a new life. look to the cross. The scriptures declare that Jesus Christ is crucified. Christ is crucified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 23 and 24, here is the mark the apostles preaching. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He says that, oh, there'll be people who, this is a stumbling block to them. This is foolishness to them. There are people who will mock the cross and scoff at the cross. They will ignore the cross. That's always been the case. But what does the Holy Spirit say about the cross? The Holy Spirit says that here is the power of God. The power of God. The power of grace. The power of mercy. The power of love. The power of justice and sacrifice and forgiveness. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Here is the power of God in Christ crucified. The scripture says that here is the power of God and here is the wisdom of God. The power of God and the wisdom of God is Christ crucified. Wiser than the wisest philosophers. That's our God. God's wisdom makes all the wisdom of this world out to be a foolishness. And so it is the cross, Christ crucified, that is God's plan to save us from our sins. And here is God's plan to give us new life. Here is God's plan to make us special people, to make His church. And it is God's plan to bring us to heaven. This is His wise plan. And so when people ask, well, isn't there another way? Couldn't there be many ways? This is His plan. Wasn't there an easier way? Maybe there's a better way for us. No. This is His plan. The Bible says that the cross is the wisdom of God, the only way that we might be saved and go to heaven. Why, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, that means the good news, which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed it in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ crucified for what? For my sins, for your sins. And this according to the scriptures, because it's God's power, God's wisdom, His plan. He declared these things. They are written. But go on. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that He was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. And I will tell you, that for the one who is exhausted as business as usual, for the one who appreciates that I am weak in my life, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, here is the source of power to break the things that tear you down. Here is the source of power to lift you up and give you new life and renewal. It is in Jesus Christ who died for our sins, who rose again. And in this power, this gospel power, there is new life and salvation. Christ crucified is the power of God, the wisdom of God. This is power for your life. But the Bible says more. If the message of the cross was, and Jesus died, I'm not sure that would sound like very good news. It continues on. For the scriptures declare that Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose the third day according to the scriptures, and He was seen. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 11, this is that which was preached. This is what the apostles preach. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 11, the apostle Paul is talking about himself in reference to these other apostles. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, I want you to appreciate that. What did they preach? That Christ is raised from the dead. He is risen. This 15th chapter speaks about this resurrection of Jesus as the greatest victory that anyone could ever know, because it is the victory over death. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, The Apostle Paul assures all that we too shall be resurrected and we too shall be changed like the Lord Jesus Christ. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. Over what? Over death. That's coming. Victory over death is coming. Victory over death. Victory. The strongest chains are broken in Christ. There is no darker power with which we must deal than death. There is no finality that you and I face in this life beyond death. There is no more certain enemy in this life than death. Who can overcome death? Who can deliver us from death? Jesus Christ can save us from death. How do you know He can? Because He is risen. Because He conquered death. He's already done it. And in this resurrection, He is declared to be the Son of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 3, Romans 1 and verse 3, concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, that's about His genealogy and about physical lineage, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Declared what? To be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. In Christianity, this is called the good confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why would you believe that? Because Christ is risen from the dead. He's declared to be the Son of God by the power of this resurrection. Because the tomb is empty. And I tell you, it's the end of business as usual. For the one who is addicted, for the one who is enslaved, there is victory. Jesus Christ is a victor. He is the Son. And what the Son brings is freedom. The Son can make you free. Declared the Son of God in Romans chapter 1. The greatest victory over death means anything short of death, there's victory for that as well. In John chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus answered to them and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Genuine victory, genuine freedom in Christ. The Son can do this. Victory and freedom from death means the Lord brings victory and freedom from anything short of death. Means the Lord brings victory and freedom from sin that leads to death. And the Bible says even more. That Jesus Christ is crucified, that Jesus Christ is risen, and that Jesus Christ, we want to write that down, for the addicted, the enslaved, the Son sets us free, that Jesus Christ is risen, and Jesus Christ reigns. He reigns. He died to be your Savior. He lives to be your King. Jesus reigns. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5, this is stated about the Lord, about the preaching of the Lord, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. When Christ is Lord, what's that mean? It means He's King of your life. It means He's ruler of your life. The final authority in my life is King Jesus, Lord of my life. That's what that means. That's what that means. Jesus is Lord and Jesus is Christ. On the day of Pentecost, when this message of resurrection is proclaimed in power by the apostles, Peter begins to conclude his sermon in Acts 2 and verse 36 by telling the multitude, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is King. He is Savior. He is not one without the other. He is both. And if we will not take Him as our Lord, we cannot have Him as a Savior. He is the Lord. He is the Christ. He reigns. He's to reign in our hearts. And we need to wake up to the truth. We have a Lord. What's the function of a Lord? To lead us. To command us. To direct our paths. And He does that through His Word. He does that through the Bible. And I tell you, for those who've just been distracted, meandering this way and that through life, and whatever the next shiny thing is, there's a wonderful end to that business as usual in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is going to give us direction. You know, I think the struggle with all the distraction, and certainly my struggle, is that we get off course without realizing it. It's just so easy to kind of go along with the flow and not to pay attention to where we're going or maybe what's going on around us in our lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ said we're going to make some decisions in life. He's going to lead us in the way to go, the way to God, and warn us that is different than the distracted way of meandering through this life. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, we see the difference of the Lord in our lives over the distracted life. Matthew 7 verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Who's going to show you the way to life? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Left to our own devices, where are we going to be? It's that path that leads to destruction. We are to intentionally follow the Lord to the path of life and to do it today. I will tell you that it will never be more easier than today to become a Christian, to give your allegiance to Jesus the Lord, because He's reigning. Give your allegiance to Him, Lord and Christ. Yes, He lives. Yes, He reigns. But one more thing the Bible declares, and you need to know it today, that Christ is returning. He is crucified. He is risen. He reigns, and He is returning. Again, the apostles were declaring this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. In fact, I think Robert mentioned this as he was preparing our minds for the table this morning. What does the scripture say? As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Till He comes. Till the Lord returns, the church will be meeting on the first day of the week, and there will be communion on the first day of the week, proclaiming a death. We need to remember that He died. Why? Because He lives. And He's coming. You'll do it until the Lord comes. What is the mission of this Lord upon His return? There's going to be a returning Lord. Why, in Acts chapter 17 and verses 30 and 31, the Apostle Peter was telling the Athenians, Apostle Paul was telling the Athenians why the Lord shall return. He said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That means to change, to turn away from the life of selfishness and sin, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. God has ordained a man to judge this world in righteousness. And the assurance of this is that resurrection. He raised Him from the dead. He's raised to return and to be the judge. Resurrection assures judgment. In another sermon, in Acts 24, verses 24 and 25, we find out here the Apostle Paul's in prison. There's a governor who just loves a good sermon. And that governor would have Paul come out of his chains and come up and preach to me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. See how that goes. Acts 24, verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Preach me a sermon. Tell me of Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. And he answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. What was the message that caused that man's knees to loosen and to knock together? Why was he afraid? Why, it was the message of Christ, one of righteousness, of self-control, and of judgment to come. Jesus is returning as judge. As judge. Christ came the first time to save. But when He returns, it is to judge the living and the dead. The empty tomb is an evidence. The empty tomb is a proof to wake up those who are deceived with the idea, this life is all there is. No, there is so much more. For the deceived, they might know there is truly everlasting life beyond this material world. And may our eyes be open to the truth. But I think deep down, you know it's so. That there is eternal life. There is heaven and there is hell. And when you die, you are going to know an eternity with God in joy and light. Or you are going to know an eternity apart from God in agony and in darkness. But there is eternity. There is life beyond this grave. And when you die, your body goes to the ground. But the spirit goes to God who gave it. And Jesus Christ is the judge. Everyone will see for sure on that day, what did I really build my life with? What did I really make it out of? Was I building all my life with hay and straw and stubble, chaff, the things that blow away, the things that burn up? Or was I building my life with precious metals, those things only refined by the judgment of fire, with spiritual riches? What was I building my life with? On that day, you will know. If Christ returns today, where will you go? If you die today, will you go to heaven? We're sinners called to be saints, and I will assure you that if you die and you're not a saint, the answer is no. The answer is no. To continue on in our lives and our ways and our distractions and our defeats and our entanglements in our sin, the answer is no. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that's the end of all that. That's the end of business as usual. We can be in Christ to have his power and his lordship, confidence in his return, that we're going home with him forever. And we started this morning with a reading in the Gospel of Mark in the 16th chapter. And where we began the reading, we stopped in verse 8. With what? These first resurrection reports. Fear about this. Alarm at this. Amazement at this. What could it all mean? But as the apostles became convicted and saw the resurrected Lord, Jesus sent them out to preach these things and to make this message known. You come to the end of the Gospel of Mark and the 16th chapter. And Jesus said to his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Go and preach this gospel. Christ is crucified. Christ is risen. Christ is reigning. Christ is returning. If you want to be ready for his return, if you want to be saved, then believe this gospel and obey this gospel. How are we told to believe and to obey this gospel? How does someone become a Christian? Well, in verse 16 it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptism is immersion in water. Immersion in water for the remission of sins. Immersion in water to be identified with Christ, to be baptized into Christ. Immersion in water that he would add you to his people, his body, his church. And you are a new creature in Christ. And you'll be looking forward to the Lord's return. You'll be praying like the saints in the Bible. Maranatha, come, Lord. If we can help you this morning to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, if we can pray for you, encourage you in any spiritual need, if we can help you to make today the day that business as usual ends, today's the day you start living in Christ, we want to help you to do that. If we encourage you in any way spiritually, we invite you to come forward and make your desire known as we stand and sing. Won't you come?